Hi, it's Jane Mantenere.
And Greg Bach.
Hope you are enjoying the 4th of July. We have a special best of show for you today. We're taking your calls and suggestions on your 4th of July traditions. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Mantenere on Air. Jane Mantenere, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text. Same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
Yeah.
4th of July is Thursday, and we're wondering about your 4th of July traditions. Is it going to a fireworks show? Is it shooting off fireworks for your neighborhood?
Is it protecting your dog from the scariness of fireworks?
Is there a dish you have to have when you set up the picnic table?
Is someone's
favorite hot dish that the recipe that you want to share? What do you do for the 4th of July? What are your plans? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Andrew from Maine says, I tried the whole lose a finger tradition, which I'm assuming is fireworks. But decided to go a different direction after years in fire and EMS. Yes, I have been to a guy who was peppered with bearings after homemade firework gone bad. That sounds really bad.
You lost me at homemade firework.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair, let's not do this.
Yeah.
Make your own fireworks. Can we agree on that?
I guess we can't. Because this guy.
I mean, there's all kinds of fireworks places if you want to do fireworks.
I passed like 3 of them on the way home.
And they're pretty spectacular. I mean, what they do now is pretty spectacular for the stuff that you can actually buy.
And they're always having sales. Always. Buy 3, get 1 free. Buy 1, get 3 free. Sparklers, 2 for 1. They're always deals. I am endorsed by no group.
Yet.
Exactly. Are you going to a party? Are you having a party? Is it a big one? Is it a small one? We're having a July 5th gathering, and I think Bridget and I might make it a tradition.
Let everyone
celebrate on the 4th, and then on the 5th you come over. I guess it has to be like a weekend because this just happens to be on a Friday. But just cooking out. We got a new grill. We're going to christen the grill.
Ooh, what are you going to make?
We're going to make steaks. We're going to make hamburgers. I bought some spicy Thai sausages.
Ooh.
We're going to make chicken wings.
Wow.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of food. And I think right now there's only 4 of us. So.
Wow, you're going to be really well fed.
Yeah, Calvin, I saw that face you just made. Don't be jealous of my supreme I've grilled 3 times skills, okay?
Are you a new griller?
I'm a new griller. I look up everything on YouTube. I actually have... Bridget's friend loves steak. I said, tell me what she likes now. I'm going to look up some videos on how to perfectly cook that version of her steak because I don't want to overdo it, underdo it.
Right.
And I don't want this. It's fine.
It was nice. It was good.
No. I loved it. It was fine. It was good. It went from fine to I really loved it. That's all pity.
If they slather it in ketchup, that's probably not a good
sign.
Get
out of my house. I don't care if you do that.
Calvin.
Oh, I was grimacing not at your cooking skills. I was grimacing that you listed like 6 entrees and you're having 4 people.
That's what happens when you're married to the family I'm married to. If you go to a holiday party, and I love my in-laws, I am so lucky, but we have a whole Thanksgiving meal of like appetizers before the meal. So I have like half a plate of dinner. I'm like, I'm so full.
Because you're so full from all the apps.
Because who can say no to artichoke dip? Calvin, Jane, you can't. I know you can't.
I would crumble in the face of artichoke dip.
You're pure-blooded Americans. Who doesn't love artichoke dip?
What does your family do, Calvin, for the 4th?
We'll probably not do too much lately. We've just been going over to my aunt's house, who has a pool.
Nice.
But, yeah, I remember back when I was a kid, though, my dad's boss, well, former boss, her mom had a house, like a mansion, basically, on Oconomowoc Lake.
Nice.
So we went there, and we always felt really out of place because it's all, like, older people. And then my family shows up.
Oh, here's the Butenhoffs. Here they come.
I know that feeling when you walk into a place and immediately you're like, oh, I am out of place here. I got to keep my mouth shut because I will start making jokes and people will be like, who is this?
Why did you bring him?
Ugh.
Listener in Madison on WMDX, Columbus 4th of July festivities. My American dream is an overpriced funnel cake in my mouth.
That's what you got to do. That almost read like a haiku. Let's see here. Oh, Andrew from Maine reaching out again. Greg, you should really practice making the steaks every day between now and Thursday to make sure you get it right. Cool. Are you buying all those steaks, Andrew from Maine? Because I got a post office. I got a house. You can send them to me.
You can just Venmo him.
I was going to say. You can
send the steak money.
Yeah. Greg's Steak Fund. P.O. Box 6868, Syosset, New York, 11725. Jane, what about you?
We used to, when I was growing up, because again, my father was a mortician, and we never took family vacations because
people die.
People die, and people make pre-arrangements,
yeah,
and pay in advance,
yeah,
for the services, yeah. And so you better be there if Aunt Betsy kicks.
So your family never had like an outside the family associate working there who, if you wanted, okay. So
he had one good friend who was also mortician and slinger.
Yeah.
And they would try and spell each other, but.
They would try to what?
Spell each other. So you want to take a week off, I'll cover for you.
Gotcha.
I want a week off, you'll cover for me. But they didn't take a vacation alone for decades. So we had a little place on a lake,
yeah,
outside of Hartford. It was like 10 minutes outside of Hartford. And so that's where we were all summer, certainly on the 4th of July. But we all learned how to water ski and
that sounds great.
And swim. And yeah, it was. It was fabulous. And play jarts. Look out.
Calvin, do you know what jarts are?
I'm familiar.
What are you familiar with? What do you know about them?
Well, so jarts, are they not just like large darts that you throw and they like land in the ground type of thing?
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially, it was a big flying heavy metal weapon.
Yes.
Is what it was. And you tried to get into a circle.
Yes. Or
that was the target.
You threw it at your best friend, David Kirschbaum, to see if he was made of the kind of material that could, you know, keep one of those things from entering his body.
Did you hit your friend with a jar?
No, I never. I had a terrible arm. No. We actually, what we did was we got tired of trying to get in the circle, and we had this wooden shed in our backyard. And one day we just threw it, and it stuck in the door just a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is fun. Let's do it again. And then I really let it rip.
Oh, boy.
And it went halfway through the door. And this is what Greg Bach, criminal genius, thought would be the best solution. Found a piece of wood in my dad's, you know, unused wood pile.
Oh, great.
And just hammered it over the hole.
They'll never see
it. And by the way, the shed was painted brown. The wood was natural light pine. So really, if anything, I was certainly calling attention to it. So I was never going to make it
as
a heister, a bank robber. I would have never. I'm terrible.
Just so, not your calling.
Yeah.
Not your calling.
But yeah, jarts, exactly what Calvin said. And if you don't know what they are, look them up. They were made illegal because they were killing people.
Absolutely. And again, I can't believe, I mean, we had them for years.
Yes.
Yeah. We had them for years. And it's amazing they stayed on the market that long.
Yeah.
It really is. And then once I finally realized many years later, and I always made the joke that, well, my parents had six kids, so they figured if they lost two, we still got four of them. It's fine. Let them play jarts. God, Chris Casper in Madison says, we used to throw them straight up in the air and then scatter.
Yeah, same. And here's the thing is, it is a piece of steel with a, not a pointy tip, but enough to go into the ground.
And enough to pierce your flesh,
yeah,
certainly.
And then when they're like, how do we make this even better? Let's place plastic wings on them, mm-hmm, to help them build up speed.
Even better idea.
Yes.
Great idea.
Lawn jarts. What a wonderful invention.
What did you play with on the 4th of July? How did you try to kill yourself as a child?
What did you play with? Is it still legally allowed
still
to be bought?
Is it still legal? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Texter, my little sisters were playing lawn darts. The littlest one got hit And my dad told her, if you aren't going to duck, goose. But a bump.
Your dad was a lot cooler than mine when he saw that hole in the shed.
That's really funny that you tried to patch it up with a different colored wood. That was so smart. The other thing my father loved, and again, he was a mortician, and I think that's one of the reasons we all found this so funny. It was called the Polish cannon, and it was made out of Mountain Dew cans specifically. It had to be Mountain Dew cans, and you would have maybe four Mountain Dew cans that just, and then you duct taped them together to make a tube.
Yes.
And at the bottom was a little hole where you put in some lighter fluid.
Oh, boy.
And then you dropped a tennis ball in it.
Oh, man.
And you lit the lighter fluid.
Hey, kids, don't try this at home.
And the tennis ball would go kaboom.
Why was it called a Polish cannon?
I have no idea.
That just
If someone could explain that to me, I would appreciate it. We can't be the only ones who grew up with this. My father would laugh. Like, it was just so joyful to see him have so much fun with such a silly thing. I would watch him for an hour do that. And we would all chase the ball. And, you know, the ball would go down the hill and we'd all run it back and watch him do it again. And he would just howl. It was hilarious.
A Polish
cannon. Am I the only one?
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. I don't know why it was called Polish cannon, but
sounds like a knock on my people.
No, I don't think it was intentional.
I'm trying to now think of, yeah. I mean, the only thing I had that was like weird back in those days was the fact that, you know, you could buy a toy gun that looked like a real gun and we would play guns. And if our little toy gun had an orange tip on it, oh, we'd paint that black. Because, man, we want to look cool.
You want to look real. You want to look real.
I hung out with some real dumb kids. And the thing is, I'd love to say I was the leader of it, but you saw my trying to cover up wood with wood. Mm-mm. I was like a henchman. I was like a Lola. I got lunch for that little group of kids. I was terrible. It was so weird.
Reminiscing about childhood. Yes, reminiscing about childhood. If you had a toy that was potentially deadly, you can always share that with us at 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Whatever you do for the 4th of July, I hope you're safe. We hope you're safe.
Yes.
Please be careful on the roadways. If you're going to have fireworks, great. Please be careful and use them respectfully. And Robert from McFarland posted a video on YouTube on how to make a Polish cabin.
I'm not putting that in the show notes. We're liable. I'm not going to do that.
It's just on your own, people.
I've heard from the lawyers. Find it yourself.
You're on your own. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
And Greg Bach.
Hope you are enjoying the 4th of July. We have a special best of show for you today. We're taking your calls and suggestions on your 4th of July traditions. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Kelby on the board. You can always join us. We're in downtown Waukesha. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, talking generally about the 4th of July, what your traditions are, any traditional foods or things you have to have at your cookout or games you play. We were talking about jarts. We got off on a little sidetrack about Polish cannons, which made my father laugh like just about nothing else. Tom from New Berlin says, hey, Jane, we upped the Polish cannon, which we use. My dad made it using soda cans, Mountain Dew cans in particular. Why that was a special thing, I have no idea. We upped the Polish cannon by using quart cans taped together and a wad of paper for a tennis ball. It was loud.
How did the... So if I'm reviewing this correctly in my head... You put lighter fluid at the bottom. You put the tennis ball at the bottom.
You drop the tennis ball in the top. Yeah. And then you light it at the bottom.
And then the...
Lighter fluid goes... And it shoots.
How does it not explode the cans? How does it not affect the cans itself?
They're just duct taped together.
But explosions are usually more stronger.
But it's just lighter fluid.
I guess, yeah.
It's not like I'm putting a charge of dynamite in there.
Can I tell you that story? I meant to tell you the story in the previous segment. Went to a 4th of July party once. A house way out in the woods. Everyone brought some fireworks. Nothing big, nothing whatever. This one guy, he pulls out this white tube that has red, white, and blue wrapped around it. And it looks like just like a big one, you know, whatever. I forget about it. Talking to somebody.
Uh-oh.
All of a sudden I hear a kaboom that rattles the house and everyone stops and what happens. And we found out that he had brought a quarter stick of dynamite to a party. Yeah. He wrapped it in red, white, and blue because he wanted it to be festive.
My festive dynamite
that, you know, blew a 3-foot hole in the ground.
Boy, are you lucky nobody got hurt.
But now I look back going, yeah, quarter stick of dynamite. That's weird. But also, that group of friends back then, on brand.
Where are they now? Yes, never mind.
Jail.
Drake from Green Bay, listening on WGBW. We just called them tennis ball cannons. They eventually changed up the size of the cans to ruin everything.
Well, you know.
See, we can't keep nice things.
Respecting my people. Polish cannon. Pfft, whatever.
Tennis ball cannon.
Thank you. Be sensitive.
That's what my dad called it. Back in the day when we had horses.
I was going to say, I didn't know Mountain Dew was around back then.
It was a really early version. A really, really early version of Mountain Dew. If you have any other traditions you would like to share with us, 855-752-4842. Washington Post is out with a list of their favorite red, white, and blue recipes for the 4th of July.
All right.
This is a crime.
The article?
Watermelon and tomato salad.
Oh.
That's just wrong.
Why?
Watermelon, tomato, and a red onion create a rainbow of red hues in this refreshing salad. Yeah, it's nice to look at. Watermelon, tomatoes, and red onions. And I like all three of those things.
Yeah.
Not together.
The thing is, I can't knock it simply because I haven't tried it. And I used to really, really knock Hawaiian pizza, cheese on apple pie, because it just didn't sound right to me.
Sure.
And then one day I was like, I'll try it. And they're like, oh, this is so good. And I was wrong. And I have to tell everyone that I was wrong.
Because you like pineapple on pizza.
I love pineapple and ham on pizza. Oh my gosh. The sweet and the salty coming together is one. Please give me more.
Well, if anybody can defend the watermelon and tomato and onion salad, I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, folks, I'm just letting you know, we've apparently scratched an itch with this whole canon thing.
Oh gosh.
Some of these texts we can't read, I feel like, legally, because you are instructing us how to make
cannon
weapons. So we love your memories. They're so enjoyable. But just short of putting the Anarchist Cookbook online.
Yeah, we probably won't share these.
Oh, my God.
Bob from McFarland, y'all ever made a tennis ball explode? Oh, Bob, I'm not going to read this. You're right. Yeah. It's just all...
Y'all going to want to see a dead body.
Homemade bombs and homemade explosives. I think that's a bad idea.
We really... I mean, seriously, the amount of explosives in the text line right now is worrisome.
Well...
Worrisome.
We've always had this tradition of blowing things up, apparently. And how that ever started as a tradition on the 4th of July, I will never understand.
Well, the Chinese invented fireworks back in the 15th century.
Right.
Yeah. And then
how that translated, I'm not quite sure.
In 1776, some guy named Stu was like, pretty. And then that just became the thing.
It was Stu.
It was Stu's fault.
From 1776.
I have thoughts on, we can't get into today because we're coming up against the break. But I do think we could peel back the fireworks just a little bit. Like, go see your municipalities. Go see the big, you know, whatever. It's not happening this year in Milwaukee.
Right.
But I'm just, because Maybelle. I'm so nervous. Like, I told Bridget.
This is her first fourth.
It's her first fourth. I said, maybe we should have just a night in the basement. We have a finished basement. We have a TV. and maybe we just hang out
down
there. Well,
why don't you see how she reacts first?
She's already...
Okay.
They've been blowing things up since April.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it gets her riled up just to begin with. So.
Well, yep. And that's another thing to keep in mind. Please keep your pets safe.
Yes.
Wednesday and Thursday and probably for all of the weekend as well. So we... Yeah. A lot of dogs tend to run away, unfortunately, if they get spooked by fireworks. So keep that in mind. Yeah. All right. News is coming up next. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. News is next, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow. Happy 4th of July, everybody. This is Jane Matinair.
And this is Greg Bach.
We have a special best of for you today. This is Bruce Hayman from the National Security Leaders for America. Stay with us. Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text the same number, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Excited to be joined by our next guest. He is a member of a group called National Security Leaders for America. We have talked to several of their members over the last couple of months, and we're going to keep doing this up until the November election. He was the ambassador to Canada. Bruce Hayman is our guest. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, everyone.
Thank you.
You're doing well.
Absolutely. Thank you so very much for joining us. If you would, Bruce, tell us a little bit about National Security Leaders for America. What is their goal, and why did you become a part of this?
Well, that's a really good question. National Security Leaders for America is really an offshoot of the original National Security Leaders for Biden, which came out of the 2020 campaign. And then the realization that the group that came together, which was really a nonpartisan group, just everybody very concerned about Donald Trump. And so we had Republicans, Democrats, we had people without any political affiliation joining in, military leaders, former military leaders, a lot of people who are deeply concerned about national security and deeply concerned about Donald Trump. So the combination of those two enabled this group not only to come together, but now is unfortunately thriving in the potential prospect of a Trump presidency.
We had spoken to Steve Anderson a couple of times, and he told us too, he said, trust me, I'm not a liberal. I've been a Republican my entire life. He was in the military for more than 30 years. And he said, this isn't a Republican-Democrat issue. This is a America issue.
It's completely an America issue, and we're sleepwalking a little bit into thinking about this in surface ways. Oh my God, he has a strong voice, or you know, the economy was this way during this time, and maybe it would be that way again if he was president. No, he is the greatest threat to democracy that we've experienced, probably at least in the lifetime of everybody on the planet today. And he is, he doesn't respect the rule of law, but we have alliances around the world that he is willing to throw out and abrogate. NATO is a perfect example, with the big NATO anniversary meeting coming up in July in Washington. The language he's used, he doesn't understand what NATO is, or he's trying to reposition it in a way that is aligned in some nefarious way. It's a deterrence alliance. It's meant to deter war, and it's meant to deter war specifically with Russia. And it's not this monster 2% of GDP. It's not a dues paying 2% of GDP. Everybody should be building their own military capability so we can be together as a group and deter Russia. But he used language recently, and he goes, hey, if you're not spending 2%, Russia, go do what you want with that.
Yeah.
And it was like, what kind of deterrence is that? I mean, that is just abrogates the whole concept of what NATO is.
Well, and Donald Trump seems to think that there is an account. Like every country has a NATO account and they have to make their monthly deposit like you're paying off a car. That's right. Not how it works.
Exactly. That's not how it works at all. And, you know, because I know for a fact that he has said things like, oh, wait a minute, let me understand this. If Russia attacks Estonia, the U.S. is going to go to war with Russia over that? And the answer is yes. He's like, that's crazy. I said, no, it's not. It's all about deterrence. That's the whole concept. I mean, really, the defense budget and what we spend on defense is not to go to war. It's actually to prevent war. Now, if war happens, we want to have the capabilities to respond appropriately and win. But we don't want to go to war. Nobody wants to go to war. And the only way you don't is if you have the appropriate, you know, counterpoint to somebody where they hesitate in going to war because of the implications of what would happen to them. And so I'm deeply concerned about the security, and I'm concerned it starts with Ukraine, and he gives up on Ukraine. And he says, why are we spending this money to help out Ukraine? Like, why? To prevent us from sending our troops into Europe to help defend Europe. I mean, could that be the best money ever spent? It's a super small percentage of the U.S. budget. And yeah, we have a lot of problems elsewhere we could spend money on, but this is one of them. And so, you know, I am concerned in a Donald Trump next presidency that the world turns upside down in a lot of these ways, and national security is a threat.
And I think too, Bruce, we cannot say this enough, that the biggest beneficiary, if America withdraws from NATO, is Vladimir Putin and Russia. This would be a big, big gift, all wrapped up in a bow for Russia.
Oh my gosh. You remember when he met with Vladimir Putin and they sat down, and in the press conference, he said, look, I believe him over the U.S. intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, hello, your U.S. intelligence officials are telling you that this guy is a threat and he's gotten involved in elections internationally and these things. And he goes, well, look, we sat across the table. He said he didn't do it. And I'm like, what planet are you on? And he kicked out his interpreter out of the room.
Yeah.
I don't know what those conversations are, but, you know, he's the guy that shared some of our deepest secrets with Russia right there in the Oval Office and giving up human intelligence and likewise. And if he didn't share it with him, he sure put it all over his house in Mar-a-Lago with an incredible number of visitors in the bathroom and on the stage and everywhere else. So, yeah, Vladimir Putin is the big winner in a Donald Trump election, I think.
You know, sir, something that really, it sticks with me every time someone asks the question in such a like, well, why are we even over there? We don't need to be doing this. We don't need to be spending this money. In my brain, the thing I'm always thinking about when it comes to Ukraine specifically, this is a country that is fighting for their freedom. There is a force trying to take over their country. They want freedom. We are a country that they specifically say all the time how great we are because how free we are. So the fact that Ukraine wants to enjoy that same sort of freedom is a no-brainer on why we should or should not be helping them. They want to be free. You love freedom, then we should be helping them. But since they're like, well, no, we don't need to be doing that. It's ridiculous. They can help themselves. No, they obviously can't. They need help, and we need to be there to help push this agenda of freedom for them. And it boggles my mind and angers me at the same time. And that's why we love having individuals like yourself, because it's easy to listen to us and say, well, you know, they're just pushing the Biden agenda. They're just pushing the liberal agenda. No, we have experts in the field talking about how important it is. And I want to reiterate what you just said 8 minutes ago, that Donald Trump is the greatest threat to this country right now. And that is important to hear and understand that I'm not saying that, sir. Former Ambassador Bruce Hayman is saying that.
You know, as I listen to you speak and reflect on these comments, you're 100% right. Secondly, I know many Republicans and independents that understand this. Yeah. But we have a cultish figure that is persuading some large group of people who don't fully understand the complexity of these things. And they are believing his narrative that is so incredibly dangerous. Mark Twain said it's easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled.
Yes.
And so it's a really hard path we're on now to convince the MAGA supporters of Donald Trump that they're walking into a very bad place. And because they believe they're following some light that's taking them to some promised land. And even in deep interviews with people, and you ask them the pointed questions of what outcomes might happen, or were you aware of X, Y, or Z? They clearly don't know. All they're doing is just following some cultist figure. And so this is the world we're in. And oh, by the way, I don't underestimate the number of people that he's aligned in this thought process.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part.
If you're just joining us, our guest is the former ambassador to Canada. Bruce Hayman is here, and he's part of a group called National Security Leaders for America. Bruce, it has struck me, particularly in the last 5-6 years, with figures like Tucker Carlson going to Russia and talking about how wonderful their grocery stores are and everything is beautiful and everything is wonderful. And I mean, the party of Reagan embracing Vladimir Putin is just mind blowing to me.
Isn't that scary?
It is. It's terrifying.
Here's the thing about how this thing just got twisted all the way around. It was the Republican Party who I think, you know, really marched forward in making sure that the U.S. had a standing in the world that prevented such things. They, you know, whether it was John McCain or Reagan or, you know, you named even the presidents before. And there were days I think I now can look back almost fondly for the Bushes and,
yeah,
and Reagan. I'm like, wow,
yeah,
what kind of world did we get to that I'm like literally thinking fondly of the former Republican presidents that represented the protection of democracy. And so, you know, it's changed. We're in a different world now.
Yeah.
This is just a fact. And, you know, this is going to be a very tight election. It's going to be incredibly close. One of the efforts that I've been trying to educate people on is that Americans living abroad have the right to vote. And they don't know that by a large number. And if they know it, they don't know how. And it's so easy. All you do is go to votefromabroad.org. Votefromabroad.org. And you click on it and you just go down and figure out, how do I register? What do I do? But you need to register every year.
Yep.
It's a little bit harder process. You get a ballot sent to you and you have to mail it back. Yes, mail in ballots. but if you live in France, you can't just show up in Michigan for your voting day. That's just the way it works. And so there are some potential 5 million Americans living abroad that could vote in this election, and that could be the defining margin, too.
We've talked to Democrats abroad.
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. About making sure that people who live abroad understand that they can vote and how important it is to vote. And there also remains this question, I think, of course, the one side says, well, all mail-in voting and all absentee ballot voting is all rigged and rotten and we need to do away with it. And if they get away with, if they do away with mail-in voting, then what about all the people who live overseas?
Impossible. It's just impossible. Then you take their right to vote away. And by the way, that's protected by federal law. Mm-hmm. The Federal Voting Assistance Program, which is actually run by the Defense Department of the U.S. because it was originally put together to ensure that, you know, uniformed officers could vote. And so this is an important aspect of our voting. And also, you get it. It's mail-in ballots. And you may remember Gabe Sterling coming out in Georgia. We're waiting for those votes from abroad. Yeah. At the margin, Americans living abroad won the state of Georgia and won the state of Arizona and could be a big contributor here.
Every vote counts. Every single vote counts. We've been saying this for months and months and months. We just had a text contest between our show and another show on the network. He beat us by 30 votes. Every vote counts.
Yes.
In something silly like our text contest, in something critically important like keeping America, American democracy, MyVoteWI.gov. Make sure you're registered. You can sign up. Everything you need to know is there. MyVoteWI.gov. Our guest is the former ambassador to Canada, Bruce Hayman, is here. Bruce, can you stick around for another segment?
Sure.
Wonderful. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in hot downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform Elon continues to actively ruin. Our guest is the former ambassador to Canada, Bruce Hayman, is here, and he is with an organization called National Security Leaders for America. And we're talking about why NATO is important and why it is important for America to stay in NATO. And we did have a comment from Tony Zimmerman that I wanted to share. A fractured West also benefits China. So yes, not only would us leaving, would America leaving NATO be a gift for Vladimir Putin, it would also be a big gift for Xi Jinping of China.
Oh my gosh, you're absolutely right. I, you know, I was just recently with an amazing woman from the Ukraine who is teaching women at home while their partners, spouses, husbands are out fighting in the military, teaching them to fly drones to attack Russian troops. She's taught over 70,000 people.
And wow.
God, 70,000. Now, not her directly, like the teams of people are
right.
teaching. And they have figured out that sending swarms. Now, the capabilities of the Ukrainians is so high at the engineering level that they continue to adapt and readapt these drones. But what she told me, I said, well, what about the Russians? How are their capabilities? She says, well, their capabilities behind us, but once they capture one of our drones, they can quickly analyze it and figure out what we've done. And then she said, but what we now know is they take that rediscover technology, go straight to China, and mass produce drones to come back and attack us. And so they have to act very rapidly in continuing to develop that. But it's clear the Chinese have been very helpful to Vladimir Putin in this process. And we may not see it as directly, but I think, look, it's happening. There is an alliance that's there between Putin, Xi, and then you've got the folks in Iran and North Korea. And that's kind of the bad actors group that's come together on the other side of this wall of democracy that we put together in NATO and other, you know, free voting and countries that are out there. And so, yes, that threat is real, and it's an alliance that's there that's real. And don't underestimate some large part of the problems we're seeing in the Middle East. You think it's just happened between these two peoples, the Jews and the Palestinians. Hello, there are really bad actors playing here and mixing things up. And, you know, Russia and Iran have long been known bad actors in the region, and they're funding some large part of these bad actions.
And if America leaves NATO, we are giving them a great big gift. I just think it's important that people understand that this would have disastrous ramifications if America pulls out of NATO.
I think that, and that's why we're going to keep talking about this and having individuals like Bruce on the show to discuss it because of their expertise. The thing, and I mentioned this to you before, Jane, and I don't know, and I apologize. I don't want this to come off sounding any sort of conspiracy theory, but we were talking about the fact that now there almost seems to be two Chinas that are referred to in America. There is China, the Xi Jinping, the guy that Trump thinks is a great guy. China's wonderful. All these, you know, a great leader for his people. And now when they want to delineate between the good and the bad, they say Chinese Communist Party China, to sort of almost say there are two factions here. When it's really what you're talking about, Bruce, it's one country led by one man who is making these decisions to work with another man who is trying to steal freedom and try to help create a narrative in this country to lead our a guy who should not be president. I mean, that sounds like a lot, and I don't want to sound crazy, but when I listen to GOP leaders talk, when they want to slag off China, they say Communist China, Communist Party China. But then when we talk about Xi Jinping, it's just China. It's great. He's wonderful.
So it's a nuanced conversation, and it's very different than Russia. Russia actually is a small economic power these days. People are like, oh my God, it's Russia. Russia's lucky to be even in the G20.
Seriously.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
So what we have is, what they have that makes the whole difference is they have nuclear weapons. Yeah. They actually don't have a military that's all that capable. And we've been watching them in action, and we've learned a lot over the last few years. But we know that they have nuclear bombs, and they constantly casually make these threats to use them. This is very different than China today. Now, China today is the second largest economic power in the world. And that we're going to have to figure out how to work with China on a going forward basis. And it can't be all hostile. If we're going to solve climate change and climate problems in the world, you can't take the second largest economy in the world and not be partners with them in some way to figure this out. And so China's got to be at a very different level. And you see Secretary of State Blinken and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, you know, do this dance of understanding that China is an important relationship for us, but also in other cases, an adversary. In other cases, it's a partner. And so it's a much more complicated relationship. Russia is just a problem.
Yeah.
And a problem at every level. And the threat is real. And very complicated in that regard.
Well, and I think what has been pointed out too by some of our former guests from National Security Leaders for America, just that the Ukrainians have done an incredible job of really harming the Russian military, at not just manpower, but equipment and everything. So this, at least from America's standpoint, has been a pretty good investment.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather see no war here at all. I'd rather see the Russian attack. I don't want to get too excited that we've degraded. We've seen the degradation of the Russian military as a result of this. You know, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of lives have been lost as a result of this crazy campaign that Putin's doing. I think we Americans just need to make sure that he doesn't win in this, because if he does, then what's to say you can't do Moldova? What's to say you can't do the Baltics? And that's where we are.
Absolutely. He is the former ambassador to Canada and a member of the National Security Leaders for America. Bruce Hayman has been our guest. Thank you so much, Bruce. We'd love to have you back.
Pleasure. Good to be with you, and stay cool in Waukesha.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Stay close. News is coming up next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.